Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigated podcast today on lifeinvestigated.com. I appreciate you taking the time to listen. And I know that your time is valuable, so I will get right to the point. What is the subject of today's podcast? It is a question. Are you committing spiritual prostitution? Now, of course, I'm specifically speaking to people who ascribe to the Christian faith and say that they are born again believers in Jesus Christ and Jesus is the Lord of their life. If you are not a born again believer, I'm still talking to you. However, you are committing a prostitution that is beyond the spiritual prostitution that I'm speaking of today. You are committing an outright rebellion if you are not in a relationship with Jesus. And that's not my words, that's God's words. That's what the Bible says. So you, my friend, you need to take several steps to get yourself before a holy and righteous God in the times that we are living, because we are in extremely difficult times. And I will say this probably multiple times in this podcast, a great storm is coming, and you do not want to be on the deck of the boat when the storm comes. You want to be down in the hatch, okay? And you want those hatches buttoned down so you can ride the waves out. And the only way you're going to ride the waves out is to be in the ark. And that ark is Jesus Christ. And so you need to get to know him. I say that I'm not trying to dictate your life to you when I say you need to get to know. But there is no eternal life, and there is no shelter, true shelter from life's storms, other than that of Christ Jesus himself and being in his divine protection and his loving arms. So we want to get there. But I also want to talk to you people who already say that you're Christians and say that you're born again. You go to church and maybe you do all kinds of things that you feel like makes you a good Christian. But I want to read something to you here, and it's all about sanctification. And when I say sanctification, sanctification in the simplest form of it is that we set ourselves aside to something. And we speak of sanctification when it comes to God, we are setting ourselves aside to God. Thus, when we set ourselves aside to God and pursue after him in his ways, we do become that righteous and holy person that God wants us to be. But I want to read something to you here very briefly from the Old Testament, and there's plenty of scriptures to go along with sanctification, certainly in the New Testament. But this scripture in Leviticus chapter 20 certainly will drive home my point today. I believe if anyone has ears to hear, let them listen to what I am saying today, because I do believe that this podcast and this message today is inspired by the Holy Spirit, or I would not be taking the time in the middle of the day to do this. And if it is inspired, truly inspired by the Holy Spirit, then obviously it's going to make a difference in someone's life. I may not ever know who that person is on this side of eternity, but somewhere along the line, all things will be known, and you will be the one who will know if this affects you today, and if you follow the leading that the Holy Spirit has given today. And in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, the Lord addressing Moses at that point in time. And he was addressing Moses, the leader of Israel, because of just the junk and the garbage that the Israelite people were doing. And he said in verse 20, he said, "The Lord said to Moses, give the people of Israel these instructions, which apply both to native Israelites and the foreigners living in the land." So, in other words, what we can determine from this is these instructions are actually encompassing everyone. So he begins off and he begins to talk about the child sacrifice that was going on to a false god by the name of Molech. You can read this for yourself. Go to Leviticus chapter 20. I'm reading out of New Living Translation. Many of you will read out of the King James Version or other versions. Just read it, okay? And this Molech was a national god, a false idol of the, I believe, the Ammons. And part of the ritual or the requirements of the god of the Ammons or the god of the nations that they call Molech and different names, the intention was the sacrificial offering of children. So they would light this this idol up and to a coal red, and then they would pass the children through the arms of Molech and sacrifice them unto this false god. And you see, at this period of time, it seemed to be that God was having an extreme difficulty with idol worship in Israel. It just seemed to be one of God's main problems with the Israelites was worshiping false gods and doing exactly what God told them not to do. So God's very specific when He tells you something to do or not to do. There's not really a lot of leeway in there. And He had warned the children of Israel and Moses many times to stop this garbage, to stop all this. And Molech was not the only one they were sacrificing to and following. God said, "You'll have no other God but me. If you're going to be mine," let me paraphrase it just a little bit. "If you're going to be mine," God says this, "if you're going to be mine, my children, my nation, then you'll serve me. And since I am God," He says, "since I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have to do it my way in order to get things to work out properly." So here we go with the people doing just exactly that. So they were sacrificing their children. And he says in verse 5, "I myself will turn against them and their families and will cut them off from the community. This will happen to all who commit spiritual prostitution by worshiping Molech. I will also turn against those who commit spiritual prostitution by putting their trust in mediums or who consult in the spirit of the dead. I will cut them off from community. So set yourselves apart to be holy." So the King James Version would say, "Sanctify yourself." Sanctify in verse 7, "Sanctify yourself. Set yourselves apart to be holy." Excuse me, "for I am the Lord your God. Keep all of my decrees by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord who makes you holy." So it's Him who makes us holy. We don't pretend. Excuse me, folks, I've been a little under the weather. We don't pretend that we can set ourselves apart to make ourselves holy. But there are certain things that we have to do to in order to get to that point that God can work with us. Now, you say, "Okay, I don't send my children to to the fireplace. I don't take them to a Satanist church and offer them as a sacrifice." Are you sure about that? You may not literally be taking your children into a fiery furnace, but have you sacrificed them to the world system? Remember, we're talking about sanctification, setting apart. What are we setting apart from? We're setting apart from the world, the things that are bad. Are you setting your children apart, or are you letting them become sacrificial offerings to the world? Are you letting them become sacrificial offerings to the public school system that is indoctrinating them to false doctrines? Are you even sacrificing your children in churches who claim to be a church of Jesus, but who are really nothing more than a woke liberal establishment getting a tax break and thinking very highly of themselves? And are you just putting your children into children's programs and teen programs without ever checking those programs out? And then when you find out you've had a sexual pervert within those systems and molesting your children for the last 2 or 3 years, unaware to you, you're the one who made the sacrifice there. You did not do, parent, you did not do your due diligence by being involved in your child's life and being involved where you put that child at and allowed that child to be without proper prayer time and research into that situation. So, yes, you could be committing a child sacrifice to a false god and not realize that you're doing it because you have been too busy with your self-interest, or you've been too burdened down by being a parent. You know, a parent, being a parent is a burden, but it's a burden to be enjoyed, is a burden to be proud of, and it is a burden to be accepted wholly. If you've decided to have a child, guess what, Bubba? It's your responsibility and no one else's. So here we go. Are you committing spiritual prostitution? Are you committing the other side of spiritual prostitution by worshiping a false god? I recall back when Hussein Barack Obama was elected as president of the United States, and many of his disciples said this: "He is our Savior. The Messiah has finally come. We are now saved." Well, that's idol worship at its pinnacle there, my friends. And I think a lot of those folks that were calling on good old Barack to be their savior were highly disappointed, although many of them still won't admit it today in 2024. But let's go back to the other side and let's talk about the Don a little bit. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that there were some things better when he was president, and I would look forward to a reprieve that we might get if he were to be elected again. But the only thing is, it's just going to be a minimal reprieve if he, even if he is elected, because he is not the Messiah. He is not the Savior of the United States. He is not the Savior of the world. Whatever is placed into progress by the prophecy of old and by God's word will progress at the end time, and it doesn't matter who is in office, quite frankly. What matters is who is in office can make things better for some of us. Well, can, if the right person is in there, you can really make it better for everyone, but some people are just not going to accept it. It doesn't matter, no matter what happens. But a lot of the Trump movement, a lot of these people, when I talk to them, and I'm of the same mind on a lot of things, they almost put Trump to the point of being a savior, and he is not. He is not a savior. That is idol worship. That is idolatry. And conservative right-wing Christian, if that is describing you, you've got to get out of that nonsense. You've got to. Look, irregardless who wins here in a couple months, the storm is coming. Remember, I said you was going to hear this a couple times. The storm is coming. The storm is prophesied and spoken of in very, very good detail all throughout the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the New Testament, right up to the book of Revelation, which brings it to its pinnacle. The storm is coming. The birth pains leading to the storm are here. And we are experiencing those birth pains right now as a nation, as a world, and as individuals. So here's what we've got to make sure. Remember, we're talking about sanctification, being set aside to God. What is God's perfect will? If you've ever, ever, ever sought God's perfect will before for your life, now is the time for you to make insurance that you are in God's perfect will and not in His permissive will. Number one, how do you know you're going to be in God's will? Is you're sanctified. You're wholly committed to whatever Jesus Christ is telling you, whatever His word is saying, what directions you're getting from Holy Spirit, what counsel you are receiving. You are committed to that. You're trusting God. No ifs, no ands, no buts. You're trusting Him and you're willing to serve Him, irregardless of the collateral circumstances that might come around you. You're sold out to God, not partially sold out. One thing I've found in recent years, You cannot walk the line with Jesus Christ. You cannot walk the line with Jesus Christ. You've either got to be with him or you're going to be against him. And if you're with him, you're going to be full padded up. You're going to have the helmet on, the shoulder pads. I'm using some football analogy, but also using analogy in Ephesians chapter 6 now of the weapons of our warfare. But you're going to be fully padded up and fully suited in the suit of armor that God himself has given you. And you're going to be fully prepared to use it and take the blows that come. That's the reason why you've got armor, to help absorb the blows of the enemy that come back against you. And the enemy is going to come more than we've ever seen in my lifetime, anyway. And we're getting ready to experience the storm like we do not know, at least in the United States of America. We're getting ready to experience discomfort and economic upheaval and political upheaval that we've already been experiencing, but we haven't reached the pinnacle of any of this yet, folks, is what I'm trying to tell you. So when we speak of the storm, what am I speaking of? And being in the ark, what did Noah do? When God told Noah the storm's coming, and he told him what to do to survive the storm, build an ark and then get in the ark. Wouldn't it have been asinine if Noah would have spent all of those years building an ark, preparing for rain that nobody had ever even heard of, and then would have been too stubborn to got inside the ark when the time come? Well, that's what a lot of folks do today, and especially here in America in 2024. God gives them preparation and he gives them comfort and he gives them an ark to come into, but we refuse to go into it. We come up to the deck of it. We might go to church every now and then, and every now and then we might remember to say a prayer, or every now and then we'll, give an offering and ease our conscience, or stop on the side of the road and give some guy that's really a shyster $5 bill that says he's hungry and without work. You're not planting good seeds there. You're throwing your money away. But irregardless, got to get in the ark. If Noah and his family would have stayed on deck of the ark, who know? Don't you know that after a few days, when the water consumed the earth and the waves were consuming everything around them, that if they'd have tried to stay on the outside of the ark, they would have drowned, folks. But they had to get in the ark, button down the hatch of the ark that was obviously waterproof, because I'm sure there were times that the turbulence and the violence of those waves were so bad that that ark went under probably a few times, but come back up. And if and God's engineering marvels, he somehow taught Noah how to seal that bad boy up and make it to where it could withstand such a storm as was the turbulence of the destruction of the earth as we knew it, of destruction of the people of the earth anyway, that we knew it at that time. So you got to get in the ark. How do we get in the ark? We get in the ark by sanctifying ourselves. God will sanctify us wholly, but he says for us, he said for us to do the same thing. In other words, it's a two-part. First thing is, you've got to set yourself aside for God. You've got to set yourself aside. This means your mind, your body, your soul, every part of you. You've got to decide the only true living way is Jesus Christ. Period. I can't get to eternity, and I can't even get through this life productively without him being the center of my life. Without me trusting him fully and obeying his commands. And Jesus said his commands are not grievous to us. He's already went through the cross for us, folks. What more do you want him to do? But if we keep trying to stay on the outside, we're going to drown in the storm that's coming. I'm telling you, we're going to drown. We're going to die. If we're not in the Ark of the Covenant, if we're not fully trusting in the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ himself, to protect us through the times that are here. They're not coming, they're here. Listen to me, folks, they're here. Now is the time to get to the ark. Now, if you've been lukewarm and maybe I'll trust God, maybe I won't, maybe when it gets worse, I'll trust God. No, you got to do it now. You got to do it now. It takes a little bit of time. You know, if you're land bound like most of us are that don't make our living on the water, if you go down to the beach and you get on and you say you're going to go deep sea fishing and you get on a boat there, what's the first thing that you have to acclimate to? You have to acclimate to getting your land legs off of you and getting those water legs on, right? You get your balance and get used to the ups and the downs and find your way around that boat and find, the motion of the boat with the ocean and so forth, and to the point why some people get so seasick. They resist the change. The reason people get seasick is they resist the change in motion. So when you resist the change in motion, you're going to get seasick. And same way with the Christian. If you resist the ways of Jesus Christ, you're going to get seasick. And you even when you're trying to get to him, and you're going to be slow getting there. So you got to make your mind up. Hey, Jesus, this is the way you're leading. I'm just going to go with the flow. And I'm going to get in that ark, and I'm going to get in that ark of safety. I'm going to get in that ark of your presence. If it requires me to go in my bedroom and shut my door and just talk to you for hours at a time, if that's what I need to do to get in the perfect will, to get myself set aside for God, if I have to turn the TV off, if I have to turn the radio off, if I have to miss a few sporting events, if I have to miss a dinner or two, whatever it may be. Only you and your God, the Holy Spirit that's trying to lead you and talk to you, only y'all can decide that what is the best way for you to get in the ark. But it all leads to the same road. Jesus said, I'm the only door. He said, I'm the only way to get to heaven. You are not going to get to heaven by your religion. You're not going to get to heaven by your education. You're not going to get to heaven by being a good person. You're not going to get to heaven by saying all the right words. You're not going to get to heaven by giving to the United Way or any other charity. You're going to get to heaven by being able to be qualified to walk through the one and only way to heaven, to God our Father, and that's Jesus Christ Himself. So, without full acceptance, listen, I believe we have come to the time that there's been too much fallacy preached in the church about the grace of God. He is the God of grace, but it's been distorted to the point that people no longer feel like they really need the grace because it's been cheapened so much. You need the grace of God more than you've ever needed God ever in your life. I promise you do. You've got to find that ark, people. You've got to get to this safety. The storm's coming. The storm's coming. The storm's coming. The waves are already beginning to shake the foundations. So please get prepared. Lift each other up in your words and deeds and prayer. We all need each other's help. Pray for me. I've got a journey to go on with God. Don't know where it's leading yet, but I'm quite certain he's going to let me know soon. Same with you. You can contact me at churchtogo@gmail.com. That's churchtogo spelled out Churchtogo. Churchtogo@gmail.com. If you have prayer requests, I'll pray for you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a true dedicated believer in Jesus Christ, and you want to pray for me, I will accept your prayers. If you're not that person, though, don't bother praying for me, and don't bother to give me any advice. I won't accept it. If you're sold out to God, we'll talk. I appreciate this time that you spent. Please share the lifeinvestigated.com podcast if you feel there's any benefit to anyone at all. Thank you so much.